Well, today we continue our Christmas series, Lessons from Mary. Last week we looked at Mary's submission. On Christmas Eve, next Sunday morning, we will look at Mary's thanksgiving. This morning, I invite you to consider with me her humility. How would you describe Mary? No doubt, humility would be at the very top of the list. Few have modeled humility as Mary did. You know, humility is the key to so much in the Christian life. If you desire intimacy with God, humility is required. If you want an effective prayer life, humility is not an option. If we desire unity in the church, listen, it will not happen without humility. The first step we must take towards revival is not prayer, it's not repentance, it's not fasting, as essential as those things are. The first step is humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14, sort of the classic verse on revival, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. The first step to revival is humility. You know, it's difficult to really define humility. I've heard it said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Charles Swindoll tells the story about a pastor voted the most humble pastor in America. His congregation gave him a medal that said, "The most humble pastor in America." Then they took it away from him the following Sunday because he wore it. It's like the man who wrote a book entitled it, "The 10 Most Humble People on Earth and How I Met the Other Nine." You know, humility, according to Charles Spurgeon, is to make a right estimate of oneself. To make a right estimate of oneself. And true humility is unconscious. You don't realize that. If it comes to your mind, you know, wow, I'm really turning into a humble person, or that was a humble act, then you are no longer humble. What I want to do today is share with you a little bit about Mary's humility. I don't have to make a biblical case for her humility. You look at the Luke narrative, it's very clear. Her humility stands out really more than anything else. But what can we learn from her humility, and how can we emulate it? Here are three takeaways that I would like to share with you today. The first is humility leads to favor with God. Humility leads to favor with God. You don't hear much about having favor with God. You know, we hear a lot about God's love, that His love is unchanging. We can't make Him love us more. We can't make Him love us less. Isn't that liberating when we embrace that truth? God's forgiveness is freely given. When we confess sin, when we turn from or repent from sin, His forgiveness is a free gift to us. And think about His amazing grace, all that we read in the Word about His grace and all that we sing about His grace. But that amazing grace is unearned and it is undeserved. But what about the favor of God? I want to look again at a portion of my text from last week's sermon, but I want to comment on a phrase I didn't then. If you want to turn with me to the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses, I'll read for you verses 26, 27, and 28. Again, I read these verses last Sunday, but I want to sort of zero in on a phrase that I didn't really expound upon last week. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. the Lord is with you. You know, Mary was highly favored of God. What does it mean to be highly favored? Does it just sort of come with the package, so to speak, of God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness when we establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Does the favor of God just sort of come along with it? The Bible has a lot to say about the favor of God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." In Exodus chapter 32, verse 11, it says, "But Moses sought the favor of the Lord." Again and again in the Old Testament, we find individuals as well as the people of God seeking the favor of God. Perhaps during a difficult season of your life, you have stood upon a wonderful promise that's found in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." It's probably the last half of that verse that has comforted you, but don't forget the first part of that verse, his favor. In Psalm chapter 84, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Now, fast forward to the New Testament. Elizabeth proclaimed in Luke chapter 1, verse 25, this was the mother of John the Baptist. The birth of John the Baptist was also miraculous. I don't have time to share that story today. But this is what Elizabeth said: "The Lord has done this for me at her very old age, having lived her entire life barren. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In Luke chapter 2, the heavenly host at the birth of Jesus proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." You know, we only get one additional glimpse into the childhood of Jesus after the birth narrative, and it's found in the last part of chapter 2. Chapter 2, by the way, is a pretty long chapter. And there it tells a story of sort of the temple incident. When they had left Jerusalem, Jesus' mom and dad had left, and they were traveling, and it was a caravan of family members that were traveling, and suddenly they realized that Jesus was not with them, and they begin to frantically search for him. They end up all the way back in the city of Jerusalem. They find themselves in the temple, and there is their 12-year-old son communicating with and having dialogue with the leaders in the temple. And they responded much the way we probably would have. You know, "How could you put us through this? We've been frantically looking for you." But at the end of that story, again, Jesus is 12, it says this, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man." Have you really thought about the favor of God in your life? We sing about his forgiveness and his amazing grace and all of these things that he does for us that are gifts, but what about this favor of God? An equivalent word in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul uses would probably be to please God. To please the Lord, and this was really something that was the goal. It was the passion of Paul's life. Matter of fact, he said, "I make it my goal to please him." How concerned are you about the favor of God? How concerned are you about really pleasing God in your life? Listen, I believe it's possible to experience his forgiveness and to be a recipient of his grace, but not have his favor, and for your life not to be pleasing to the Lord. I once had a woman in the church who has since passed away, who had two sons who were both in prison at the same time. She loved these boys very much, probably to the point of enabling them. But listen, she wasn't pleased with them. You know, it's possible for the Lord to love us passionately and for us to experience His amazing grace, but our lives or areas of our lives not to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, Mary was not chosen to be the mother of Jesus because she was worthy. Like you and me, she also needed a Savior and referred to Jesus as her Savior when she sang in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." No, she didn't say, "God your Savior," but "God my Savior." The reason that Mary was chosen is really known only to God, but her humility stood out to her Heavenly Father. And one thing that we know about this little peasant girl is that she was highly favored by God. I want to challenge you, don't stop with God's forgiveness or even His grace, but like Mary, seek the favor of God. Like Paul, seek that your life would be pleasing to the Lord. Well, the second lesson I see here that we learn about from Mary's humility is that humility brings fulfillment from God. Humility brings fulfillment. Normally we think of pride bringing fulfillment. So we lift ourselves up before others, we accomplish things, we make ourselves look good, we have the praise of other people, so that's fulfilling. No, that just gratifies for a short period of time. It's not true fulfillment. Humility brings fulfillment from God. As I prayed about ministry in this season of life, I find myself asking the Lord for two things: fruitful and fulfilling ministry. Fruitful and fulfilling ministry. You know, I find myself praying same for others in ministry, whether a big setting or a small setting, that they would find fruitfulness and fulfillment in ministry. When I pray for missionaries, I find those two words surfacing in my praying for them. Lord, may their ministry be fruitful and fulfilling. We have missionaries from this church that I won't mention their name right now because this is being live streamed, but they serve in another part of the world, and their heart was for one country, and it was their passion ever since he was on staff here, and all of a sudden the doors closed and they could no longer enter that country, and that was something that was grieving for them. But I have prayed that now that they're in another country, that they would find their ministry fruitful and fulfilling, because just because the doors of a country have closed to missionaries does not mean that the doors have closed to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that the doors have closed to the work of God going forward. China's a good example. They threw out the missionaries, and when they went in after China opened up, they found that what were something like 50 million Christians that were in China, and Christianity has continued to grow there. Fruitful and fulfilling ministry, not just for pastors, but for you as well. As I shared at the beginning of our time together, humility is the key to so much in the Christian life. And humility in our lives is imperative to experience true fulfillment. In Mary's song in Luke chapter 2, Mary said in verse 48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." And in the very next verse, he says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary found fulfillment even in the chaos of her life. And when she sang this song, her life was in utter chaos. Her future in the natural was uncertain. Her marriage was no longer certain. Mary's life really had been turned upside down. just prior to her song, Mary arrived at the home of her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. This would be the cousin of Jesus. This would be the forerunner of Jesus. And there in Luke chapter 1, let me read for you verses 39 through 45. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, a baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise." Mary had traveled in a caravan to go see Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. Elizabeth had no way of knowing all that had taken place in Mary's life. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. This was the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And it was probably the time that Mary recognized that she was actually pregnant at that point with Jesus. And so I think we have to recognize that fulfillment is not a destination. Fulfillment's a journey. Fulfillment's a journey. The problem with having a big dream for the future and only for the future is that you may not live into the future. If everything is based upon some huge big dream, some huge big vision, I'm not saying it's wrong to have dreams, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a vision for the future, is that you may not be alive at that time. The Lord Jesus may come before that time. Fulfillment is not a destination. He fills us along the way. He filled Mary with his presence, with his spirit along the way, even when her life was in chaos. Psalm 57, verse 2 in the New Living Translation says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his promise for me." David writes in Psalm 103, verse 5, "Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Let me be quick to say that fulfillment will not come by acquiring more things. Sometimes we think, oh, if I can just have more, a bigger bank account, a bigger retirement account, a bigger house, a nicer car, or newer clothes, that somehow I am going to be fulfilled. That's not the way fulfillment comes. It doesn't come by the things that we possess or we think we possess. True fulfillment comes from God, and it comes with joy. Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the paths of life. You fill me," notice those words, "you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." It's interesting that Peter quotes these words of David on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Romans chapter 15, verse 3, Paul writes, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." True fulfillment, it comes from God. But listen, he can't fill us if we're full of ourselves. From Mary, we learn that humility leads to favor with God, which leads to fulfillment from God. There's one more takeaway I see here, and that is humility results in elevation by God. I looked hard for something that started with F, but I could not find it. I had to settle for an E. Humility results in elevation by God. Mary saying in Luke 1:52, "He has brought down rulers from their homes. He has lifted up the humble." There's something about humility that gets God's attention. It was true for Mary, and it's true for you and me. Just a few weeks ago, we concluded a series from 1 Peter. He writes in the last chapter words that are really found throughout Scripture in one way or another. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." What does humility do? It leads to elevation. In God's word, humility is always connected to elevation and ascent, while pride is always connected to falling and descent. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Good counsel is be humble or stumble. Be humble or stumble. Mary, in humility, recognized that her elevation was from God. And she writes or sings, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. We sang about her today, didn't we? And I would just imagine that thousands or even hundreds of thousands of churches and multiple millions of churches around the world sang about Mary today. Mary was included in the sermons that were preached and the scriptures that were read. You know, something that I just had really not seen about Mary before, and that is that Mary never became proud. There are great men of God in Scripture who did great things for God and later succumbed to pride. But Mary never did. And think about it, she had more to boast about than any of them had to boast about, but Mary never gave in to pride. She had a spirit of selflessness with total dependence upon God. John Vianney writes, humility is like a pair of scales. The lower one side falls, the higher rises the other. Let us humble ourselves like the Blessed Virgin, and we will be exalted. Even John the Baptist, who was in the womb of Elizabeth in our story, who became the forerunner of Jesus and baptized Jesus, at one point said this, he must become more. I must become less. As we close, I believe the way that we honor Mary is not by praying to her, but by following her example. We honor her when we model our relationship with God after her with traits that she displayed. At the top of that list would be humility. Mary's humility teaches us that humility leads to favor with God. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his grace. But what about his favor? Do you desire his favor? Do you desire for your life to be pleasing to him? And humility brings fulfillment from God. And we also learn from Mary that humility results in elevation by God. When we humble ourselves before him, he then lifts us up. Let's pray together. Lord, during this Advent season, we thank you for the wonderful example of Mary. Mary chosen to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the example that she set. And even though we don't believe that the Bible teaches praying to Mary or that Mary was sinless, Lord, Mary is one to be honored. Mary is one to be emulated. And there's so much, Lord, that we can learn from her and that we can apply to our own lives. Lord, help us, like Mary, to desire to have the favor of God. When God looks upon our lives, we know that he loves us. If we've received him into our lives as Lord and Savior, we know that we have his amazing, unearned, undeserved favor. But help us to desire that our lives would be pleasing to the Lord, that we would truly have the favor of God. Lord, at this time of the year, I want to pray for those that are here this morning and those that may be watching online, that this is a very difficult time of year for them. Others are rejoicing, they may be grieving. While others are enjoying family, there may be a member of their family that will be missing at the table this year. They've experienced loss, or maybe they've gone through a divorce. There has been a relationship maybe that has been severed, or even their family members are far away and may be serving in the military. I would ask, Lord, that you would especially give comfort and strength, Lord, to those that, like Mary, may find their lives in chaos. Maybe their world was turned upside down this past year. I pray, Lord, that they would find extra grace and extra strength from you. Now I would pray for those who have never taken the step to give their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. Lord, they've not humbled themselves and said that I need a Savior. I need my sins forgiven. I need a relationship with Christ. They've not taken that step. I pray today that they would do that. We're going to pray a very simple prayer, and if that's you, I invite you to join with us as we pray a prayer of receiving Christ, of receiving His mercy and His grace. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I here and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness. I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask those who pray for individuals at the altar, if you would make your way forward. And if you're here today and you need special prayer, we believe that God brings healing to people's bodies. We believe that God brings healing to people's emotions. We just serve a God who heals. In whatever way that we may be in need of healing, God is able to touch our lives. So if you need special prayer, we invite you to come. These people are here to pray with you and for you today.
Head, weary sinner, the river to my head, down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there. Build your mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up, here to lift you high. If you're lost and wandering, come stumbling in like a prodigal. Stumbling, let the gates of glory open wide. All who strayed and walked away, unspeakable things you've done. Fix your eyes on the mountain, let the past be dead and gone. Come on, saints and sinners, you can't outrun God. Whatever you've done can't overcome power of the blood. If your heart's dead, pondering, come stumbling in like a potted bush. See the walls stop crumbling, let the gates of glory open wide. If your heart's dead, wrecked again, come stumbling in like a potted bush. See the walls stop crumbling, let the gates of glory open wide. Gates of glory open wide. The gates of glory open wide. The gates of glory open wide. gates of glory open wide.
You're dismissed. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. I'm